Hello, everybody. Recruiting Animal here. It is March 18th, 1-8-2009. As you all know, welcome. Hey, welcome. As you all know, let me get down to business. Unlike everybody else in the recruitosphere, I am not a thought leader. I am not a visionary. Nevertheless, late last week, I was able to create the very first portable group blog in world history. And here's what I mean. A bunch of my friends and me agreed to work together as a team of roaming, you get it? Commenters, when we see a blog posting that's just begging to be criticized, we send a message. You know how ants do it? We send a message to the other members on the team, and we all descend on that posting at the same time, and we start discussing it back and forth until all the errors are exposed and all the errors are corrected. So please tell me what's wrong with that. I think it's a marvelous idea because on the recruiting blogs, you don't get many comments usually. So, you know, a blogger, he's free to say anything he wants, any kind of nonsense at all, and he never gets called on it. You know, sometimes you get guys like the great Shally Elvis Deckerel, and he'll complain that there's too much noise in the recruitosphere, he'll say. But let me ask you this. Does he ever come up with a plan to do anything about it? No. But did the recruiting animal come up with a solution to the problem? Yes, he did. And it's a fun solution. But do you think anyone is patting me on the back for it? No, they're not. Instead, I'm starting to hear the same old story. Why do you have to criticize everybody? I don't think that's nice. Well, listen, I want you to take a look at lifehacker.com. Lifehacker.com. That's a software blog. They recommend software. And when they do, they get a bunch of comments under every posting from people telling you what the shortcomings of that software happen to be. So tell me, would it be better if the people who know something and are trying to help you just shut up because the guy who wrote the posting and made the recommendation isn't humble enough to handle anybody else's point of view? I don't think so. And the same rule applies to you and applies to me. If you tell me that your company is great and you don't offer any evidence, I'm going to say, you better prove it, pal. And if you tell me that when a Gen Y person gets laid off, she won't have any trouble at all writing a great resume and activating her expanded network and getting a new job in just a couple of weeks, I'm going to say, you better prove it. Because that's the difference between blogging and propaganda. And that's the difference between being boring and being part of a dialogue. And the people who write political blogs, they get it. But recruiters, they don't get it. Now remember, I'm almost done. Now remember what Barack Obama said last June? He said, today is the day that the oceans stop rising. Well, I'm telling you that today is the day that the noise starts dying down. And if you want change and if you want hope, you can find us at thebadguys.ning.com. Okay? I told you I'm the Barack Obama of the recruitosphere, and maybe I am. But now I want to turn to my guest for today. You know what? She's the same guest I had last week. Because after that show, I got a lot of mail myself that said, Animal, You didn't do a good job with Claudia. She told you she had a great method to assess the viability of her boyfriends, and you didn't follow her up on it. Well, I'm a humble man. So I said, Claudia, listen, dear, you're coming on again. We're going to talk about your love life, but we got to link it to recruiting, because in case you don't know, this isn't Oprah. It's a recruiting animal show. Claudia Faust, are you there?
I'm here for you, baby. I'm here for you.
You're here for me. Well, if you were here for me, you would have delivered everything last week, so those guys wouldn't have been calling me. If I said, Claudia, I don't want to hear about your love life, you would have said, you're going to hear about it whether you like it or not.
All right, I'll keep that in mind for next time.
Okay, now, Claudia, I'm going to do a little introduction of you for the people who didn't tune in last week. Or maybe, you know, those guys out there, they like to criticize people. Maybe I didn't do a good job, so I'm going to make up for it. But first, I'm going to take a drink.
What are you drinking?
I'm not going to say, but I'm not a boozer. So I can come on your list, as people will soon see.
I had always suspected that that was the issue with the program.
Oh, yeah. Carl Chapman, the recruiting Rottweiler. He can't wait his turn. Maybe we'll see who's here, Claudia. Maybe we'll see who's here. We got a lot of people this time around.
Cool.
770, that is Carl Chapman. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
CECsearch.com. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Claudia Faust, ImprovedExperience.com. You'll wait your turn. Area code 111. Want to say hi? Whoever you are.
That could be me.
Who are you?
It's Rayanne.
Rayanne on Skype. You're too cheap to call long distance.
No, I'm just too smart.
Yeah, you know what? At least take your headset. Oh, you can't if you're on Skype. Listen, Rayanne. Just what's your website? I'll say it for you, because trust me, no one else can hear what you're saying. You're doing a Susan Burns on us.
What?
What's your website, Rayanne?
RayRayRecruiting or athornspoint.com.
Okay, well, one's enough. RayRayRecruiting, that's easy to remember. Okay, area code 513, is that Maureen Sherb, the queen
that's
bee of telephone sourcing?
That's
name
me.
Sourcing, is it name sourcing? Namesourcer.com.
Right.
Namesourcer.com. How could I forget? Okay, area code 214-660. Who are you?
I am Elise Cortez. I am Claudia Faust's partner, business partner.
You're Claudia's partner. What, did she need backup this time, so she brought you in?
Somebody's got to do it.
Okay, Elise. Elise, is that it?
Yes, it is.
Cortez, like that guy who conquered Mexico. Is that right?
I married that guy.
You married him. Oh, okay, fine. Now I understand. Area code 631. You're the last person who's on.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you, bad boys?
Animal! Who is it?
Animal!
That's Levy?
That's Steve.
That's
Levy.
The singing voice. Okay. So
hey,
let's get
Steve,
down to business.
You sing really
enough
good.
Of an introduction. Enough of an introduction. Okay, so what are we talking about here? Okay, Claudia Faust used to be a recruiter. She is now a partner in a firm called ImprovedExperience.com. She created software that gathers information about the recruiting process and feeds it back to recruiting managers so they can use it to improve that process. Am I right, Claudia? Yes or no? That's all I want.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Okay, I want you to listen now to this paragraph I found online, because you're going to be telling us about how to use recruiting techniques in the marriage quest, right?
Okay, sure enough.
Okay, here's the quote. It was a beautiful wedding, but as the weeks passed, Megan began to realize that while her wedding was perfect, her marriage wasn't. In fact, she wondered why she had even hadn't seen the problems coming before she got married. But there's an old saying that supplies the answer. Marriage is a school in which the student learns too late. But does that have to be the case? Claudia Faust says no. She claims that recruiting and searching for a mate can be guided by the exact same techniques. And she has returned to the Recruiting Animals show to talk about this today. Claudia created a spreadsheet. You can download it from my website, recruitingshow.com, and we're going to tell you right now how to fill it in. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
That's a good idea. Yep.
That's a good idea. I'm glad you thought of it.
X-rated, I don't know. We'll see what Claudia items that Claudia had on hers that she's willing to share.
I can think some measurements that really are germane to the
Okay, we'll give you your chance right now. Which are the most important factors for you?
For me?
No, Steve Levy, Vin DiZellisi, wants to say something. Just give it to you, Steve.
No, I don't.
Give
us.
Okay, he got you. Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but if you want, you know, religion could be an issue here. Okay, Claudia, let's move ahead. Ignore those guys.
All
listen.
Right.
Ignore
okay.
us, Claudia.
All right, Steve,
okay.
You're ignored.
Don't ignore us, Claudia.
Okay, Rayanne, I won't ignore you.
We can't help but ignore you, Rayanne, because you're at the bottom of a swimming pool. Now, Claudia says the first thing you have to do is make a list of all the things that are important to you. That's obvious. It makes sense. But
yeah.
she says, here's what I consider to be funny. She says the list shouldn't be too long, but she's got 15 items on hers. I think that's a long list, okay?
But, yeah, but you're a boy. Boys tend to think differently about
I'm
these things than girls
You know what?
Do.
I wish I was still a boy, but I'm not. I am a mature man who's had bitter experience, and I know how to assess the things you said. So listen here, Claudia. Listen here. Is it okay if I read your list so people can get an idea? I don't think if there's anything there that I think is taboo or that reflect poorly on you, you know, I won't say it. Is that okay?
And only if do I get to, like, ring a buzzer or something if you throw something in that wasn't on my list?
If you think I'm saying a word, just start shouting, bang, 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 and it'll drown me out, okay? Because
okay.
I don't have
right.
any. I have buzzers, but you don't, okay?
Okay,
so,
all right.
So before we lose the audience again, let's just get ahead with this, okay? So you got a list. Yours are no drugs, alcohol in moderation, okay? High integrity. The words have to match the actions. The person, I hope I'm not embarrassing you. I think you're going to get a lot of respect from the audience. The person has to be kind, thoughtful, and respectful. So you got three things in one little chunk there.
Yep.
They have to be spiritually aware and growing. And for you, that means something about a higher power, okay? And I can say, I don't know if it has to be a personal higher power or just a higher power, because, you know, you might entertain people from the Far East. I understand they don't believe in personal higher powers.
Yeah, I'm pretty open about that.
Okay. So they have to be curious, intelligent, love to read and learn. These are very complex. They have to have healthy connections with family and friends. The person has to be fun, have a sense of humor, laugh easily. They got to be a good communicator. Listen well, ask good questions, and articulate their thoughts well. Financially responsible. It's a long list. Balanced. That means willing to take some risk, but not being too extremely conservative or, you know, just reckless, right?
Correct.
Okay, can I say something about the sensuality? Should I leave that out?
Oh, no, you can say that. That's
they have to be huggy, okay? I'll just put it that way. They have to be huggy. And we're almost done. The person, I found this one tricky. The person has to know what they want and be able to figure it out fairly quickly if they don't know already. That this is, I don't know. I'm
that's
embarrassed.
That's a lot to ask of a man, I think.
Maureen,
you,
we're not
you
even
begin
finished.
To understand. Yeah, you
Maureen,
begin to understand my dilemma.
We're in the home stretch. The person has to have beautiful eyes as the window to the soul, okay?
Very important.
That is hogwash.
Okay.
But you
don't
notice, Maureen, I didn't hit the buzzer. I didn't hit the buzzer, though, so it was on my list.
Okay. And they have to embrace other cultures and languages. They have to be sort of diversity friendly. And the person has to be physically fit or take care of himself or herself physically. Is that okay? Did I do a good job?
You did a beautiful job.
Okay, great. So this is a very long, complex list. You told me other people have only five items. I think that's easier to conceive of, but you're telling people that, and we're going to be relating this to the recruiting process. That's the tie-in. But you can put a huge, what I would consider a long list of very complex requirements into your little formula and work with that effectively. Yes,
yep.
Or no?
Yep.
Anybody
want
to say anybody have anything to say at this point? I'm opening it up to the floor for a minute.
I do.
Okay, Carl, what's that?
I didn't hear single.
Oh.
Damn, that was the problem.
Number 16, yeah.
Yeah, have to be single. Good
you know,
point.
He's down to earth, that guy, okay?
He's good.
Anybody else? Okay, so now the point is, the goal is to give the candidate an overall rating between 1 and 100. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, in the end, you want to come up with this guy's a 20, this guy's a 50, this guy's a 75, et cetera, right?
Exactly, exactly.
So it's a bit complicated. So if you download the spreadsheet and just put the numbers we're going to give you in, it'll calculate that in the final number for you. Right, Claudia?
That's correct.
Are you Claudia, kidding me?
No.
I'm serious.
Download. Go to recruiting.
Go to recruiting.
Well, do you know that we guys only need 1 through 12, and that's the number of beers that you have to have, and I'll explain that later.
Your wife's not listening, Carl. Anyway, Claudia is married, and she married an engineer, so that's why they get along. She made this chart up, and she married an engineer, the only person who could tolerate somebody who does something like this.
Imagine what foreplay is like there.
Okay.
Oh, my
okay.
Goodness.
So go to recruitingshow.com. Anyone who's listening now, or it'll be there
simple?
In the future as well.
Ooh.
And if it's in the future, if you're listening to this 6 months from now, just look at the entry for March 18th, and you'll find this. And there's also going to be a download of Claudia's interview guide, but that has nothing to do with your love life, okay? So anyway,
in a bar.
Yeah, okay. Well, she didn't put those questions in, Steve. Okay, so now you go to your spreadsheet. Now you're going to give the person a rating in the end of 1 to 100, but you're not going to calculate that directly. You feed these other numbers we're going to give you into the hopper or whatever you call it. And it stirs it up and comes up with a finished product for you. So you're going to give the candidate a score on every one of the points that we just said. They don't have to be your points. You put your own points in. Person can get a score of 0, 1, or 2. Am I right, Claudia? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. But some things are more important than others. For instance, I said no drugs as the number one thing here. I actually read you Claudia's list in a prioritized order. You want to prioritize this list from the most important thing to the least important. So when you're giving a person a 2 in physical fitness, Claudia, for instance, and she's giving the person a 2 in no drugs, they can't be the same value. They have to be weighted. The one for no drugs has to be worth more. So what she does is she tells you to weight those things by giving each item – I know I'm going to do poorly on explaining this, so you have to help me. You give each item a score, but they all together have to add up to 100. So she gave no drugs a 10. She gave high integrity a 10. She gave kindness a 10. Spirituality a 9. Curiosity a 9, all the way down until – they all added it up to 100. That must be hard, figuring out the numbers in the exact way that they're going to be 100. Or do you do that on the spreadsheet and that helps you?
Well, no, you actually have to think about it as like a pie chart. Where the total
pie
of charts, everything.
Who thinks about pie charts?
Well, but
we're
think
not
of it.
Like
I mean, think about, all right, a pizza. So you had a pizza, and all of the key factors that are important to you are represented on there. You cut the slices of the pie as big as you want, depending on what's more important or less important to you.
Okay,
does that
but
make
the
sense?
Point is, yeah, but you have to assign a number value. So in the end, for instance, I'll just explain it to the, Steve's an engineer as well, by the way. Although somehow I don't know if he'd get along with you. Anyway.
Steve and I are good
for how
bad.
Long, I don't know. Anyway, so
Adam,
if you
we talk all the time.
Okay. So if you score a 2 in no drugs, that's going to be multiplied by 10. That you gave it a 10, so that's going to be a 20, whereas if you score a 2 in physical fitness, which is the top score, it's only going to be multiplied by a 2, and so you're going to get a final score of 4 there. So that way, she scores you on each individual item, whether you're a 0, 1, or a 2, but then she multiplies it by the importance of that item. Have I explained this well, or does somebody else want to step in here?
Well, you've explained it well to me, but let's ask the people who are listening if it makes any sense.
I didn't say you, Claudia. I said the people on the couch.
Okay.
Does everybody understand?
Kind of, sort of. It kind of sounds like a quantitative thing.
Kind of sounds quantitative, Maureen.
Doesn't it?
Kind of, yeah. It is quantitative.
Okay, then I'm on the right page.
Maureen, let's take Bob for example.
Okay, let's
come on. You want her to stay married after this, right? You could take Bob off the air, okay? I like Bob. I don't want him coming after me because his wife went after him after she gave him a bad score on the recruiting animal show. Okay? So let's just continue.
Finally, Kellerman Conscious comes to the fore.
It's not that hard. Okay, so... anyway, so where are we? We've got the weights. We've got the individual scores. You fill out the columns just where it says on Claudia's Excel spreadsheet, and it gives you a final score of as a percentage point, like your average from 0 to 100, okay?
Right, and that final score is an indicator of, you know, how well they meet your expectations or exceed your expectations. So someone who meets your expectations in every single one of your criterion will score 50%. Someone who exceeds in every single category will score 100%.
How did you figure that? Where did you come up with that? So how did you come up with that?
How did I come up with that?
Yeah, 50% meets your criteria. How did you come up with that?
Okay. Well, what we needed, what I created in this tool is something that allows it works the same if you have 3 criterion or if you have 100 criteria.
The plural, come on, Claudia.
Okay.
The plural is criteria. One is a criteria.
Oh, so
don't embarrass me, okay?
Alrighty,
I built you up on this show.
So sorry. All right, so you calculate the score when you multiply the weight that you apply to a key factor to the grade that you gave the person, the 0, the 1, or the 2. Now remember, 1 means they met your expectation in that area.
Oh, okay, I didn't say that. Okay, 1 means they meet your expectations, and 2 means they exceed your expectations. Is that right?
Yes, and 0 means that they fall below your expectations.
Okay.
Now,
so
some people like me get really kind of, they want to have to get right down to the nitty gritty, and maybe they score somebody a 0.8 or they score somebody a 1.7 or 1.1.
Well, you didn't say that. You didn't tell me that was possible.
Oh, sure. You can do anything like that.
Kind of insane, but okay. It's good.
Well,
it
just depends. It's a flexible tool. What can I say?
Okay, it's very flexible.
Okay, so the way we score is the score is you multiply the weight, the percentage that you put on the item, by the score that you gave them.
Yeah.
And then it's divided, that total is divided by 2 because 50% is a median score. So you know you want somebody to score at least 50% because otherwise, why would you waste your time with them?
Right. Okay. Now, we didn't explain the logic of this. When you're involved with somebody, you might be, totally... involved in some aspect of them, whether it be your sex life or you feel sorry for them or whatever, right? In this adds some cold logic to your experience of that person. Is that the goal here?
It was for me because I was in a place where I was leading with my heart in my relationships, and I was always making choices that were not a really, at the end of the day, not a really good long-term match for me. But I was kind of going into it with the best of intentions and thinking, I can actually make this work. Well, it takes 2 people to make it work. So anyway, so this helped me separate out my emotion from what my head, agreed was important.
Okay. And then when the person gets a 50%, I think you told me yesterday, anything up to a 60% is very iffy. Like below 50 is out, up to 60 is a maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Although, to be honest with you, if I was to, if when I take a job order, or in the past have taken a job order from a hiring manager, and I go out and find candidates, I never send them a 50 or 60% person. I always send them somebody that hits about 80% or more of the requirements.
Okay, so really 80% is a winner. Is that fair?
80% for me has high potential to be a winner.
Okay, and your husband, so everybody knows, got a 92, right?
He did.
But he's gone down since then. Is that what you told me?
Yeah, but he's still within a three-point range.
Okay, he's still up there in the 90s. Anybody want to say anything at this point?
Yeah, I know, Matt. This is Elise. I know, Matt, and I'm going to tell him, Claudia.
And you think he doesn't know? She rubs it in his face. She rubs it in his face. What I want to know, Elise, is, since you're Claudia's partner, how do you score? Did you score Elise before you became her partner?
All along. I don't know why she's with me. I'm a negative two on the whole entire thing.
Oh, stop!
Okay. Okay, so now you've helped out your friends. You're an amateur, relationship counselor. Is that right, more, would that be fair to say, Claudia?
What, about me that I'm, I have a lot of girlfriends that have come to me along the way and asked, they have the same problem.
And now you don't listen to their sob stories on the phone anymore. You send them this Excel spreadsheet and say, do it yourself. Is that right?
Not so much. I do a lot of chatting, too.
Yeah,
girlfriends do that.
That was me. She did that. You sent me the sheet.
Okay.
Is this Rayanne or is this Maureen?
Yeah.
That's right. I did send Rayanne the sheet. I sent it to Maureen, too, but that's just because she asked last week.
I got it.
Okay, listen, the show's slowing down. Come on, please, let's move ahead.
Keep
moving. Is there anything else before we move on to recruiting that we have to tell people about this?
I think the key points are, first, you have to be very clear about what you want. Then you have to be very clear about what on that list is most to least important. And then, finally, you have to have a lot of clarity about what it means to you personally when someone meets your expectations or exceeds them or falls below them in each area.
Claudia,
if you can get all three of those things done, then you're going to get some good stuff out of the sheet.
Steve Levy?
Yeah, there's one more thing to add. These types of personality tests are known to be situationally specific.
You on a headset or something? I can barely hear you.
Is this any better?
Yes.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, baby. these sort of personality tests, they're known to be situationally specific. So at any point in your life, the profile could change depending on your emotional state. Depending on whatever factors impact you, personally, and so it's from a relationship standpoint, it's good to take these tests at different points in people's lives in one's life, just because they'll give you a much better.
She does it every week on her husband or something like that.
I tend to call her every week, and I can tell when she's actually administered the test. It's just.
Actually, for the sake of my poor dear husband who's going to listen to this later, that's absolutely not true.
Okay. But one other thing,
Animal. It's that also at any point in time, these factors can change too.
Yes.
So there are base factors, and then there are iffy factors.
Yeah.
Let me interrupt you, sir, for a second. I told Claudia that when you're going out with somebody, what you like when you're going out with them, a certain kind of spontaneity, might seem like irresponsibility in the relationship when you're talking about mortgages and stuff like that.
Very true.
So you might be judging, to some extent, by the wrong situation. Mm. I'm agreeing with you there.
Yeah.
Right?
And I would also say as well that I don't really consider this as a personality test per se. I just consider it a clarification tool, that's all. There are absolutely personality tests out there, and I'm not sure I would ever hand one over to a
No, this is a compatibility test, though. It's a compatibility test. Now, I notice, look, you didn't put politics down there. What if somebody's a Republican, the other's a Democrat, right? Can people with very differing political views get along? I know that guy, what's his name?
Carville and Matlin.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I was going to pick them. But you know what? They've got more linked. I mean, they're both political operatives. There's a lot in common there.
right.
So that's something. But ordinary people, if they feel passionately about something, mind you, I don't think politics is something that divides people. Usually they don't know enough to make it divide them. But that's not an issue for you, right, Claudia?
No, that wasn't with us.
Okay, like whether Turkey should be accepted into the European Union. You guys never have fights about that, right?
Not that issue specifically, no. That hasn't come up as a fight
now,
area.
Yeah. Now, there's a couple of other things, okay, about deal breakers. Didn't we talk about that?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Now, how do they relate to this?
Well, I think that you have to know what your walk-away point is, and that, for me, I mean, not everything on my list. That goes back to the weights that you put on things, but not everything on my list was a deal breaker, but the top ones really were. My son, as I mentioned in the interview I had with Dave Mendoza, spent 10 years, dealing with drug addiction, and drugs were a big deal breaker for me. I couldn't even handle someone who casually used, whatever. Having high integrity and being respectful in interactions with others, I couldn't handle someone, and I knew that well about myself. So, yeah, so those were deal breakers for me.
Now, the funny thing is, the confusing thing is, though, those only got, a deal breaker you'd think would be a score of like 100, or you'd have to keep them on another chart. But if you make those at the top of your priority list, they're going to weight it enough that they'll cancel the person out, even if he or she has other good qualities. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, too, if you were to look at the weight that I placed on each of mine, they're all within like an 8-point range. And that speaks to why I think I had such a difficult time sorting issues out, separating them out from kind of, I like this person. And because I can, when you like someone, you give them a lot more leeway, I think, as you get to know them and spend time with them in a relationship than somebody you really don't like all that much. So I think that when you see scores that are that close, it just reflects maybe why there's confusion going on in that, connection between your head and your heart, why one of them, leads you astray.
Yeah, okay. Listen, now how come you and Elise aren't selling this as part of your business, like you sell software that helps with the analysis of recruiting results, right? And so how come you're not selling this as part of a package? Let me ask Elise, maybe because she didn't invent it. She's not married to it like you might be.
Well, we have been selling it. That's the thing. Just don't tell Claudia because she would not approve.
Oh, okay.
A little side revenue stream for us that I haven't told her about yet.
Oh, got it.
No, really, because I want to get into the nitty gritty with recruiting. So, because you said it's the exact same. You create. In fact, you told me that all you promise to bring into your client or your hiring manager is somebody who fits into the 80% or better of the requirements. You let the manager come up with the key factors and weight them. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I've never gone through this meticulous of a process with a hiring manager and forced them to fill out the sheet.
Why not? The hiring manager pretty well knows what he or she wants, right? Why don't you do this?
Am I the only one laughing when he said that?
Yeah. Okay, so explain it. Come on. How come you're not using this with recruiters? Can someone download this from recruitingshow.com and then use it when they're recruiting?
Well, I don't see why they couldn't. Actually, if they're taking a good job order, they're not only going to explore key factors, they're also going to do a whole lot of other things in that meeting with the hiring manager to set expectation for working together. But this is probably a very reasonable way to collect key factors and then force the conversation around what is more important versus less important and how much more important.
Yeah, they never give you the time. I was just going to ask Carl what he thought, but he dropped out. Okay, anybody else got a comment about that? No, right? Okay. But you say that, as you said, it's very important. The more clear you are, the more likely you are to find it. So the hiring managers you like are the ones who know what they want, even if they're a bit brusque about it. Yes?
Yeah. And quite honestly, I don't care how they articulate, what it is they want, if they're clear about it and it's a reasonable expectation. I mean, clearly, if you're looking for someone with 10 years of experience in a technology that's only been out on the market for 3 years, that's an unreasonable expectation. But if their expectations are reasonable, I don't care how they say it to me.
Okay, so they need the recruiter still as an advisor because they're living in a dream world. Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes.
Okay.
And okay, I think quite honestly, it's the recruiter's job to push back and to test. Okay, so this is more important than this is to you. What if I find a candidate that has these things but is kind of soft in this area? What about that kind of a candidate? You can't have those kind of conversations with a hiring manager unless it's very clear what it is you're looking for.
Okay. I think I'm done with this. Is there anything else to discuss about your tool? We explained how to use it. We made it available to the public. You had great success with it yourself, right? You've gone back and analyzed all of the other men in your life, right?
Well, all the main relationships, yes.
Okay, all the main relationships in your life. And nobody scored like your current score, right? And so
you're not even close.
Not even close, right. That's an interesting thing.
I have a question. Did she develop it after the count or before the count?
Oh.
You know, you're not supposed to say that, okay? Let's not talk about
her other relationships. That's a fair question, and I want to answer it. I developed it after the count. And it was because the things in that, you know, in that relationship, there were some deal breakers, quite honestly, that were in that relationship that I had to, you know, and I liked the guy. That was the challenge.
Okay. So you're trying to see past the deal breakers because you liked him.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the deal breakers.
You didn't actually. You know, Maureen's got a good point. If you didn't, when you were answering Rayanne, I thought if you don't identify what the deal breakers are, you might not know their deal. You know they bug you, but you don't know their deal breakers, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Maureen, what do you want to say?
Let's talk about the deal breakers. What were they?
For me, they were the top three on the list. The no drugs, alcohol in moderate amounts, high integrity. And
he failed all three of those.
Someone who is I won't tell you which ones he failed because quite honestly I like him. I wish him well in his life and it's not important which ones he failed in or did better in, but there were deal breakers that were in there. We'll just say that.
Maureen, this guy was important enough to her that after going out with him for a while, she turned to this thing, right?
I heard it.
Okay. Is there anything
else for her?
Is there anything else to talk about with Claudia's love machine or whatever you want to call it?
The love-o-meter.
My love-meter.
Okay, anything else? Because, you know, we've got a lot of time. We can end the show early. I think that might be a good idea, but I tossed in some other issues here. Can I move on to them, Claudia? And if anyone wants to talk about, you know, the love machine, that's fine, okay? But just go to recruitingshow.com. Download it, listen to the program, and you'll figure out how to use it. Let me just see if anybody's given you any messages on Twitter. Not that I can see. Hi, Lucy. Lucy in Puerto Rico says hi.
Hi,
okay.
Lucy.
Yeah. Okay. She's a nice girl. Okay. Next question. Now, I notice you, Claudia writes a column for recruitingblogs.com answering people's questions. I didn't know you take questions from job hunters, but this guy wrote in to whine about losing out on all the jobs he applied for, and you gave him some advice that surprised me. You told him to apply to McDonald's or Walmart, right? That's where the subpar candidates go. Really? No, you told him, look for a part-time job in retail or fast food. I mean, and then you said, this is great or Maureen said, I think, this is great advice, but it's hard for many to hear. Can you want to talk about that a bit? I mean, that was shocking to me.
Well, but you have to look at the context I said that in. It was in terms of what's your financial situation right now. And if you've been out of work for a long time, that's a reality. People have got, you know, we have to grapple with, you know, how deep are my pockets and how long can I go until I find that next fabulous step in my career?
Come on, hold on a second. If a guy goes to an interview and he sits across from someone and says, hey, didn't I see you at McDonald's with a little cap on? I mean,
when you say I was doing research.
Oh,
very
yeah.
good. Very
okay,
good.
Or you know, I guess you could say that takes someone, not everybody has the guts, as Maureen explained, to go in and expose themselves to ridicule like that or people's opinions, like this guy must be a loser if he's working here. Am I right?
Well, I think that people can have that perception. I'm not sure that that's a fair perception or even a correct one, but people
well,
do.
Well, then the person has to have guts, first of all, to go and work there, and secondly, at an interview, would have to rebut any opinion. If someone said, I saw you at McDonald's working behind the counter, you'd say, look, that's just temporary. I have the guts to work there, and that's an asset you should be interested in. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put that. Because to be honest, I mean, you can't pay the rent with your pride. And if you've got, you have to make a choice between I got to make the mortgage payment or pay the electricity bill this month, and ooh, I really don't want to be perceived as somebody who works in retail or at the fast food joint. You have to decide what's more important.
You know, I think we're talking suicide material for some people there. Now, another thing you said, reach out to Susan Kang Nam and ask her about her volunteer work with the Boston Salty Legs Career Club. Did this person live in Boston, or is that something everybody should do?
Well, Susan, I believe, lives in the Boston area, and she's really active. That's a group that was put together. I think ABC sponsored it, and she volunteered to kind of head it up and make things happen so that that group, it meets, I think, either once a week or once every couple
weeks. Yeah. But what relevance did that group have to this person? Is that something like, should people across the United States be, sending emails to Susan? Should we give out her address? Is that
I think that the point was that Susan is kind of paying it forward. She's actually out focusing on helping others kind of work through looking for a job. So I think that that's the point, that if all of your focus is consistently on yourself, then you get sucked into your own worst nightmare.
Enough, Claudia. Okay. I'm just going through a few things, going to wrap it up. There was a discussion today on, or maybe from yesterday, on recruitingblogs.com. I thought it's one of the best discussions I've ever seen on any recruiting blog, and it was by Becky Metcalf, who was on the show a few weeks ago, and it's called Asking Tough Questions. If you go to recruitingblogs.com/forum/topics/asking-the-tough-questions. And she says her whole shtick here, it's like tons of pages about how to get the person to commit to a job on the basis, being ready to accept a counteroffer, and it's all about pre-closing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're involved in a relationship, are there pre-closes? I was wondering about that. And if you've decided this person's 80% and you're not 80% on his or her chart, is it worthwhile trying to persuade that person, or is that really a bad idea?
Boy, you ask some really tough questions.
Yeah, but just be short in your answers, okay? I don't care how good they are.
It depends. How's that for an answer?
Okay, do you want to elaborate on it a bit?
I think it depends. I think situationally, let's talk about the second one first because I forgot the first question.
Okay.
But the second question about, if you're if you're below 80% on someone else's list, should you pursue it or whatever. I think that people have the capacity to learn and to change, and not always are they going to get everything. Are you going to get everything you want in life? But you don't get pretty much 100% of the things that you don't talk about with your partner. So if I don't know where I stand on someone else's list of Keith,
who's having lunch? Who's cooking? Okay.
That's Levy. Don't worry. Get over it.
So if I don't know where I stand on someone else's list and they don't
He's off my list. Okay, go ahead.
then I can't. I don't ever stand a chance of being able to address that concern for someone else. I think it's good to have the conversation.
So if you say to somebody, I think we should get married, and that person says, I don't think we're a match, then you should come back and push back and try to persuade him or her that maybe you are.
Well, if someone else says to me, I don't think we're a match, and I've just proposed to them, I
yeah.
would probably think, maybe this isn't as much of a match as I was thinking that it was.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I might.
Anybody got an opinion? So what about, a candidate says, I don't think your job's a match for me. It doesn't meet my goals.
Well, I would
back
hope
off?
That you do that way before you propose to them, right? It's the whole offer process, getting to the altar at the same time.
Well, let's hear it, Elise. So, come on.
What's that?
This is Elise, right?
Yeah, this is Elise.
I mean,
wouldn't that be awful as you get somebody to the altar and you want to propose and you want to, you want to get married and they tell you something like that, what that says is you haven't asked enough questions in the court.
Okay, so this, you're involved in the same kind of pre-close thing that Becky was talking about. How do you pre-close on a candidate for marriage? Two trial closes. Like, what are you doing there?
Well, I think that it's standard recruiting 101. It's you're sleuthing along the way, and you're getting more and more yeses, and you're getting more and more snuggly.
No, you're being too vague, and you're not being loud enough either. Please, I know it's your first time calling in. Maybe your last time. I don't know. But be loud.
His bark is far worse than his bite.
As my husband, I can scream at you.
Be loud. I don't care if you scream here. Okay, so be loud. Be loud and tell us exactly what you mean. How are you doing those trial closes? What do you mean getting yeses? What's the story? What are you saying there?
Forgive me for anybody out there who sells cars, but it's kind of like the whole thing of, you know, if I could get you into this car for this amount of money, would you be driving off the lot today? Right? You know, you're double-checking along the way as you learn more about that person and what he or she wants, and you say, well, you know, if you will be doing these sorts of things in your job, would that be interesting? Would that compel you to look at the opportunity? Would that compel you to come in for an interview, whatever it is? So you're always syncing up with, if we do this, will you do that? It's a behavioral sort of match thing, I think.
Animal, I've got a really good example.
No. I want to take her on here. Now,
okay.
Are you saying that, you know, if you go to Disneyland with your boyfriend and you say, isn't this fun? If we did this every summer, would you want to marry me? Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. Now, don't put words in my mouth.
Oh, I'm asking you.
I would say that first it comes back to Claudia's list. When we're talking to our candidates and we ask them why would they maybe even look at this opportunity, and they tell us this list, and we keep saying, and what else, and we try to get that list as complete as possible. We get to the bottom of the whole thing, and then we start trying to match up and say, okay, now we've met here's your 80% or whatever. We've got 80 or even 90% of what you said you wanted. So, you know, are we getting
you
close?
You think I'm dumb? I understand that part.
Are you getting
how
close?
Do you transfer
yeah, we're getting
it over
close?
To the...
Well, I think that's what it is. You just
how do you transfer
match up
to
the
candidate for marriage?
Well,
how do you do the animal.
It's the same thing, right?
Give me the words. Come on.
Well, I gave you the words, darling. Didn't you hear me?
No, you didn't. Claudia, did she do it? Did she say what you say to the person here?
Well,
I think she
talked about the concept.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to use your partner to translate for you. Just hold on, Elise, because we're getting close to the end. Now, Claudia, is she saying that, you know, with your boyfriend or whoever it is, you're saying, are you happy with me? Like, ask once a month and do a performance review? Is that what she's saying?
I didn't hear her say that. But let me give you an example of something, because that's going to explain very clearly. One of the key factors for my husband was that he had to be able to travel well with this person, because he had some really, really bad experiences in his past where that wasn't the case. And so, without knowing that that's what was going on, after he and I had been dating for a period of time, he invited me to go away on a short weekend trip. And the purpose of that was to get to, obviously we were getting to know each other still, but he wanted to know, was I going to be able to pass that, you know, that criterion, is that right? I always get that mixed up.
Pass the test.
Yeah, pass the test.
We know what you mean now. Come on.
So was I going to be able to pass that test without him actually saying to me, okay, now we're going to have a test this weekend, and here's what the test is, and I want you to study for it. He just wanted to see how it went.
That's
in other words, Claudia, what you wanted to see how you'd respond to him farting in the car or farting in bed.
Hey, geez, come on.
Wow.
No one has ever said that on
it
the show before. I'm glad no one can hear him now, even though I told him to speak up. But hold on. Now, what we're talking about is, I understand that, Claudia, what you just said. But we're talking about, once you've decided this person, that, by the way, endorses Steve, what Steve said earlier about the situation. He didn't know earlier in his life the travel was going to be an issue. He had to have a bad experience with travel. You had to have a bad experience with, I don't know, drugs or something like that, in order to know that those were important issues for you. So you could walk into a bad situation just from lack of experience, not knowing what questions to ask, not knowing what's important to you, because you're 20 and you haven't had much experience. Now, the thing is, I'm saying, once you've decided this is the candidate you want, how do you reel that person in? What Becky and Pam Clawton and Sandy McCart were all talking about there on recruiting blogs was keep testing, just like just like Elise was saying, test all the way. Has anything changed today? If I could get you this, if I could get you that, would you be happy? Would you drive off the lot right now? Now, I understand that, but how do you do that? How do you transfer those kinds of crude, obvious advances from a business situation into a personal situation without making the person feel pressured?
Well, I think that there are, you know, there are certain things on my list, for example, that require a lot more trust to be, you know, to really reveal what the truth is. For example, financially responsible. I see one version of financially responsible when I go out on a date.
Me. How do you reel the person in? How do you get the person to sign on once you've decided this is the candidate you want to hire? For marriage,
I think both parties agree. I think that it's small commitments on behalf of both parties all the way through the process, and one or both have to ask. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Is this relationship going where I think it's going? Are we getting more serious here? I think that anybody who's been in a relationship on any level has you know, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a real serious love match, You get to the point where you kind of go, is this what I'm thinking it is? Okay, it is. Well, let's keep going here. I'm comfortable with that. Don't you think so?
You mean you ask the other person, or you articulate that to yourself?
I think that I can think of examples when I've actually said that to someone else, or had someone else say that to me.
Okay, so
I mean, what is your experience
thing
with that?
My experience is, if someone said to me, you know, I think I'd like to marry you, and I say, I'm not sure, they should bail, right? That's time for them to get out, because I don't meet their criteria. They're looking to get married, and let's say I'm not. But I'm asking you, is there some way, I asked you already, when that happens, should you try to persuade the other person, just like you might try to persuade a candidate that this is really a job that meets his or her criteria? Would you do that like you're looking at a really long-term relationship. You're not looking to hire somebody for 3 years. You don't have an answer. It's clear to me right now, okay?
Okay. I think that you need to understand why. And if you're clear on the why, then I think you can make a decision about whether it makes sense to pursue it further. Because
okay.
Maybe it's something you can't control. Maybe you just don't like blonde women. And nothing, and maybe I can go out and become a brunette or something.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. I'm done. Anybody else got any questions? I'm ready to end it right now. I think we've solved everybody's problems, kind of. Just, at least as far as it goes to choosing who they want, they can use Claudia's tool. Beyond that, we don't have any advice to offer them because we have experience in recruiting, but we don't know how to transfer that experience. As I promised, we did into a selling situation in a more personal relationship, right?
You know, if Animal, let me add one thing. How many people here other than me have been divorced?
I have.
We don't have to ask people those questions.
Shut the hell up, Michael.
I've been divorced.
Maureen, Rayanne?
Yes.
I have as well.
Okay. One of the things that I learned, and of course, we're the only Chapman's bail, so we don't have to ask him. One of the things that I did during my my marriage counseling, which I botched up royally, was read a really good book called Getting the Love You Want by a fellow named Harville Hendrix, no relationship to Jimi Hendrix. And the book in and of itself was unremarkable, but the activities and examples that you did as a couple in the back of the book were particularly interesting. And that's the same thing that, you know, we do, most of us do implicitly when we are dating or looking for a mate, but we should be doing it more explicitly when we are recruiting. You know, how many times a day do I read posts from people who just don't trust applicant testing? They just say, I'd rather rely on my gut instead. These are the same people, by the way, who contribute to the 50% divorce rate. You know, and so
are you making a point? Are you making a point?
Michael,
the end
shut
of
the hell up. On that note,
you know.
Oh, what kind of things? Let's hear some examples. What kind of things?
No, I'm done. Michael cut me off.
No,
yeah,
no.
I didn't cut them off, but I was about to.
No, but here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, you know, employment testing. You know, we, you know, maybe we should be doing, you know, more. We certainly need to do more of that in our own profession, because far too many people rely on their intuition, which we know is flawed. Just look at the divorce rate.
Well, you know what? I have a wrap up, and I told Claudia yesterday. I had a chat with her. Obviously, we didn't chat enough because, you know, after I explained what we were doing, the conversation's kind of gone astray. But I told her that, you know, people are not really going to be looking for a lifetime mate in the future. It's going to resemble the recruiting process a lot more. You're going to look for a partner to have your kids with, and then dump, really, and go on and have one or two more, because you're going to be healthy from, you know, a marital, from till you're about 80, right? Even old people get married these days. There's people 70 years old getting married. So, in fact, my great-grandmother must have got married when she was 70 or whatever in 1948. And so my point
Michael,
is...
Michael, is this going anywhere?
Yeah, my point is... You're not the host. I mean, I can actually cut you off. You can't cut me off, okay?
I can click the off button on my phone.
Yeah, okay. Don't interrupt me. I'm almost done. The point is that people are going to be looking for short hires with their husband or wife in the future as well. You know, they want to make it last, less, could be not that short a hire, 20 years. But once the kids are out of the house, I think, you know, already 50% of these husbands and wives are split up even before that happens.
Right.
So there's going to be a lot more of that, because people are just going to live too long to maintain an interest in each other, even if they're interested in each other for like 10 years. I think that's a likelihood.
But, Michael, here's the thing about that, is that there are financial repercussions when you have a divorce in a marriage. There are financial repercussions when an employee departs from an organization. And if you have that kind of turnover happening within a business, eventually it can't sustain itself.
Well, no. There has to be some turnover in the business to get some fresh blood coming in, right? And the same thing, a relationship goes stale after a while. You stay together till the kids are growing up and out, and if it's an understood cultural norm, there might not be the same kind of upset around it either. I'm not saying some people won't stay together for 50 years or 40 years, but I think it'll be a lot less likely. I mean, we can already see the trends. I think it'll become rationalized, so it's not such a trauma, and you say, you know what, I failed. It won't be like that.
Well, that's entirely possible. We'll make a note of that and keep an eye on it.
You
to
make
see if
a note
true.
Of it 50 years from now, you can tell me if it's true. Thank you, everybody, for coming on the Recruiting Animal Show.